US officials have begun fingerprinting asylum seekers on Nauru and Manus Island, preparing them for resettlement under a deal struck between Canberra and the Obama administration. It's brought back memories of life in detention for Jamila Jafari. She was 5 years old when her family, from the minority Hazara community, fled Afghanistan. They ended up in Woomera Detention Centre in South Australia. And there she witnessed one of the most dramatic chapters in Australia's refugee policy, the 2002 Australia Day riots. She's now 21, and Jamila Jafari has told her story in a new book called They Cannot Take the Sky, Stories from Detention.
Most Hazara people in Afghanistan at the time were Shia Muslim, whereas the Taliban, they practiced and they believed in a ridiculously extreme form of Islam. Anyone who did not agree with their idea of what Islam was considered an infidel, I guess you could say. Yeah. Our culture was different, our language was different, and we valued different things. You know, we valued access to education for both females and males. We believed in women being allowed to work outside the home, whereas the Taliban think women should stay inside the home and not leave. And politically, our family and the majority of the people in our community, we supported a resistance political party who were very active in trying to oppose the Taliban's rule.
Yeah. You were very young when you made this journey. Can you remember anything, though, of the hazardous journey? I mean, journeys by boat to Indonesia, then Indonesia by boat to Australia.
I was exhilarated and petrified at the same time. Afghanistan is a landlocked country, so there were no oceans. But being on that boat, although it was a very old, unstable wooden fishing boat, I was excited to be in this unique landscape. And although there were people around us who were very worried, you know, the adults, they knew exactly what was happening. I was naive. And so, you know, I was both excited and petrified of being on the seas.
Mm. You survived, obviously, but the family ends up in Woomera Detention Centre in the early 2000s. And you write that there were no words to describe Woomera when you first saw it. You're now a contributor to this book, They Cannot Take the Sky, Stories from Detention. How would you now describe Woomera?
To be honest, Andrew, even after all these years, I am still lost for words when it comes to having to describe Woomera. It was a very awful place, and the conditions that we faced in Woomera were just horrible and so avoidable.
Mm.
But unfortunately, the government placed us in that sort of environment on purpose, I would say. That really drove people off the edge, a lot of people. And people entered Woomera sane, and they walked out of Woomera very disturbed.
Yeah. Now, when you were in Woomera, you know, you're a little girl, but you weren't spared some terrible sights. Tell me about the boys that you saw who were sewing their lips together as a protest, as a hunger strike against the detention of children.
Those boys, I think they had a very clear sense of what was happening, whereas I was much younger, so I didn't have a completely full picture of what was happening. Those boys, they were very brave, I would say. They were very strong in protest of what the government was doing to them and to everyone else in Woomera. They had sewn their lips together, and that resulted in them having to go on a hunger strike. One day, it was on Australia Day, 2002, there was a protest in the camp. One of the boys pulled out a razor blade and he dug into his arm. He wrote out freedom using the blade. Then he raises his other hand in the air in a fist and he yells out, "We want freedom." It was awful, awful to have to see him do that to himself.
Yeah. I've got to say to you and the listeners, this story of Australia Day 2002 in Woomera has some resonance with me because as a newspaper reporter, I covered the events of that day. That young man, his uncle, I think, threw himself from a roof into razor wire. What do you remember of that extraordinary incident?
After the boy cuts into his arm, everyone's attention diverts to the roof of a building that's close to the fence. And I look over and there's a man standing there. And then he jumps onto a coil of razor wire that was on the ground. And everyone goes silent for a split second because we're all so shocked at what he's just done to himself. And then instantly everyone's in panic mode. The conditions of Woomera Detention Centre drove him off the edge, like literally, because he was so traumatised at the treatment he was receiving.
When you reflect on that incident and your time in Woomera, what do you think of Australia? I know that you've grown up here, you're now a university student, you're really making a life and a career for yourself, but what do you think of the country that you've adopted when you think of that time in Woomera?
It hasn't been an easy journey. Growing up in those early post-detention life years, it was very difficult for me because as well as having a strong love for Australia, I still did not feel like I belonged because of that initial treatment and reception I had had from the government. Even today, people who come here by boat seeking asylum are called boat people and queue jumpers and all these awful terms that are very dehumanising. I felt like I did not deserve to be here, and I felt like I'd stolen somebody else's place, and that made it very hard for me to fully feel at home here. Home is supposed to be a place where you are comfortable and a place where you feel accepted in. In the initial years of living here, I did not feel entirely welcome. However, over the years, I've learned to overcome that and to say this is my home and I belong here 100%, despite what all the negative and inaccurate news clips and political statements are.
Well, wonderful to talk to you. Jamila Jafari is a 21-year-old student in Perth. She's one of the contributors to a new book of essays. It's called They Cannot Take the Sky, Stories from Detention. And it's published by the group Behind the Wire. Jamila, thank you very much for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrew.